website, School of the Hebrews. Amen. We have it up there for you. They'll flash the picture at some point. Sound booth, if you could flash the Hebrew, School of the Hebrews. Amen. All right, I ain't going to worry about it. But whenever you see it, that's what it is. And so it's the School of the Hebrews. Amen. If you miss anything. And the scripture that the Lord put on my heart, amen, as I talk about the Hebrew nugget for today, is Hosea 4:6. Hosea 4:6. They still didn't put that School of the Hebrews up there. Hello back there. Okay, all right, all right, all right. Okay, all right. So that's the School of the Hebrews, amen, if you want to go check out the YouTube page. Hosea 4:6 is a scripture that the Lord put on my heart for our Hebrew nugget. He says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, saith, reject thee, saith the Lord." You know what I'm saying? Now, what I'm giving you in the Hebrew nugget is this. I'm giving you knowledge, all right? And it's important that we pay attention to knowledge, because knowledge is power, all right? So as I go over these things, man, don't get lazy in your mind. Don't sit there like a bump on a log, because the reason we're in our position we're in now is because we have rejected knowledge. Amen? Anybody hear me, all right? Anytime somebody go to teach us something so we could know something, who we are, what's going on in the world, we turn them off and we start thinking about the latest Jerry Springer show. That will not help us get out of the hood. That's going to keep us in the projects. Amen? We perish. We are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So the Hebrew nugget is an opportunity for us to get knowledge, saints. And so try hard to plug in. Some of this stuff is going to be high, academic, studious stuff, but you can do it. You got a brain in that head. You can hear. You can listen. Some of y'all didn't do good in school, but you know every player on the Saints team, the defense, the offense, would route their runs and the plays and everything. You ain't no dummy. You just choose what you want to put your mind to. Oh, I don't know who I'm talking to up in here. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm asking you to choose to put your mind on this. All right? And put it on it for real. You see? Because as a man, think it, so is he. And what you know affects how you live. And who you think you are affects how you live this life. If you think you're nothing, you're going to be a nothing, then you're going to live like a nothing. But if you know that you're the people of God, you're chosen, you're blessed, whether you're Hebrew or you're engrafted in the promises as a Gentile, when you know better, you will live better. Oh, I don't know. Come on now. Come on now. I feel a shaking in the spirit. That's why I'm saying it's Jubilee. That's why I'm saying a blessed season is coming, because you're going to learn something about yourself. And it's going to change the way you look at the world. All right? What I'm going to talk to you this morning about, amen, for a few minutes. I'm going to try my best to make it a few minutes, about 20 minutes, maybe 25, maybe 30. But listen, we're going to talk. And we're going to talk about something called the Balfour Agreement. The Hebrew nugget is all about us revealing to you the mystery of the ages. That the current people in Israel are not the Hebrews of the Bible. They are actually imposters who have perpetrated the greatest instance of identity theft in humanity's history. That's what it is. They've jacked somebody else's identity. They are not the people. But they receive the benefits of being the people of God, hiding behind the status of being the chosen when they are not the chosen at all. They are imposters. God said in his word in Revelations 2 and chapter 3 that there would be a people who say they are Jews, but they are not. They do lie. They are of the synagogue of Satan, he says. You see? That's the Bible. And we are living in that time. They are not the people. And the Hebrew nugget contends that since they are not the people, we beg the question, then who are the people? And I'm here to tell you that we the people, in the mighty name of Jesus. We the people. All right? And this is a blessing for the world. It's a blessing for Hebrews and Gentiles alike. This Hebrew nugget is going to talk about something called the Balfour Declaration or the Balfour Agreement. We get most of our testimony today from an Ashkenazi himself by the name of Benjamin Friedman. Benjamin Friedman, amen, was an Ashkenazi in the upper echelons of their mechanism, their machinery, meaning that he was very wealthy. He was a very wealthy businessman. He was a millionaire. They take care of one another. They're not like us, crabs in a bucket pulling each other down. They have a unity, amen, that take care of one another. Well, he was in the upper echelons. He would meet with presidents. You hear me so far? I would go through the names and the pictures of the people that he talked about rubbing elbows with, and it was people that decided policy on a world scale. He was there when they did treaties, amen, in the Conference of Versailles. He was in the room with Woodrow Wilson, in the room with FDR. Well, this Ashkenazi, amen, turns to Christianity. Oh, my goodness. And begins to worship Christ. And he begins to see that the Talmudism and the way that they were doing things was actually wicked and destroying the world and not blessing the world. So Benjamin Friedman comes out. He gives a press conference in 1961 in the Willard Hotel in Washington, D.C. that never made modern and popular media, but it should have. He said, a Christian outlook upon the way the world is. In that speech, I'm going to quote from him a lot. Write down his name, write down the location, and go do your research yourself, and you will get the audio, amen, online of Benjamin himself. And when you listen, hey, God, he's going to tell you some things, hallelujah, that though somebody told you, you wouldn't believe it. Benjamin Friedman. Hallelujah, began in 1914 giving his briefing. And he tells us, saints, amen, some of the things he talks about in that briefing. Number one, he says that his people are not the people of the book. That's number one. He admits that himself. He said, we're not the people. He said, we're from Khazaria, we Ashkenazi, we are not the people. He points to the very map where they're from. They are not from Israel. They're not from Palestine. They're from southwestern Russia. And he admits that. He admits that they run the United States. He admits, amen, hallelujah, the people that he's working with and some of the people in the American government that's been sold out. But what I want to focus on right here, right now, is his discussion on what we call the Balfour Declaration. Listen, listen, listen. The Balfour Declaration, I've showed you how they took our name. In this dissertation, I'm going to show you how they took our land. If they're not the people, how did they end up in the land? How did they get the land? Because when somebody have the land, it's easy to say, we those people because we in that land. But they wasn't always in the land. It'd be like Americans coming out and say, we the Indians. But we know that from history, you only living in the land of the Indians. You're not the Indians. You are only living in the land of the Hebrews. You are not the Hebrews. Woo! Balfour Declaration is going to show us the agreement and how they got the land. They got it through deceit, deception, lies, backstabbing, manipulation. Is there any other word that I could say that's bad? Hallelujah. That's how they got it. 1914, we go back to World War I. That's when it started. Follow me with your mind. Oh, goodness, I'm in class again. Don't fall asleep. I'm going to add some Bible into it and we're going to make it work. Right? World War I was separated into two groups. You had one group on the side, amen, with, hallelujah, Russia, Great Britain, amen. Come on, sound boot, follow me, baby. Don't be playing solitaire back there, follow me. Come on, flip me, flip me. The World War I, hallelujah, the groups, keep on going, keep on going. There it is, right there. World War I separated into two groups. Russia, France, Britain on one side. Germany, the Ottoman Empire, which is current Turkey, and Austria-Hungary, the major groups on the other side. What happened was the world got caught in a web of treaties and alliances. I'm a big country. I make a treaty with Brother Sam, and I say, Brother Sam, whatever you get into, I'm sneaking them. I'm with you. We gonna jump them. Great Britain made a treaty with a little country. All right? On this side, Mr. Dwight tell Hill, whatever you get into, we gonna stomp them. You understand what I'm saying? Now, me and Mr. Dwight ain't got no beef, but the people we done treated with, we allied with. I don't even know Mr. Dwight. I don't even know Hill. I'm just saying, hypothetically. But Hill get in touch with Sam. Now, I got an alliance with Sam. When Hill and Sam get in touch, I can't let my boy just go out like that. I got to break it to your hood, all right? You know how it is. Y'all in the street in VZ, McCormick, and your boy get down, you got to get down too, all right? This is geopolitical situations in World War I. Great Britain can't let his boy just get jumped like that. So he come out there, they assassinate the Archduke Ferdinand, amen. Great Britain jump in, Russia jump in. You know what I'm saying? And it's about to go down. Because everybody that who with Russia, they jump in too. Everybody on the side of Great Britain, they jump in too. It's World War I. It's going down. I feel like y'all understand. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Marla McComb, VZ, get y'all right, yeah. Listen. All right. The Ashkenazis, remember, they the bankers. They all in Europe. I showed you last time. We was in this time period. They got banks in every major city. They love war. In fact, they go and they fund not one side of the war, but both sides. We're going to give both of them money. Amen. But even though they funding both sides, they really have a side that they want to win. Just like in the Civil War, they was funding Abraham Lincoln and the South, but they wanted the South to win because it was more economically prosperous for them. Amen. Well, in World War I, they was funding both sides, but they really wanted Germany to win at the initial onset of the war. Amen. You say, why? You just got to study your history. They hated Russia. They absolutely hated Russia. Why did they hate Russia? Remember, Russia intervened in the American Civil War. When they had the North beat, Great Britain and France was thinking about coming in and putting a stop to the war while the South was on top. When they were about to send their ships to put a stop to the Civil War and put the South on top, Russia say, y'all not intervening or interfering in that country affairs at all. And the Tsar of Russia sent his ships to two ports, two major ports in America, New York, and he sent them to San Francisco. The funny thing about it is, in our current media, we hate Russia the most. But what Russia was the reason why most of us not on plantations today. Oh, you don't want to clap for that. Oh, you don't want to clap for that? Yeah. They helped the North win the Civil War. You don't believe me? No, you don't believe me because it's not in your books. Go research it. And the Ashkenazis hated them for intervening. Oliver Wendell Holmes, one of the grand literary authors in America, wrote about what Russia did for us in the Civil War. You'll never see it in your books, Madison. And you a straight-A student, you never see it in your books. Look what Oliver Wendell Holmes says about Russia. It's kind of like a prose thing, kind of like almost like a little poetry, but just follow me along. He says, while the North was losing the war, he says, bleak are our shores with the blast of December. It was the winter time, and it didn't look good. Bleak was our shores. Fettered and chill is the relevant flow. Thrilling and warm. You see, we was cold. We was losing. It was bad. But something happened. And thrilling and warm are the hearts that remember. Who was our friend when the whole world was our foe? The whole world was against America. The whole world was coming against the North. They didn't want us to win, amen, to set the slaves free, amen. But when the home say, hallelujah, who was our friend when the world was our foe? Fires of the North in eternal communion. Blend your broad flashes with evening's bright star. God bless the empire that loves the great union. Strength to her people. Long life to the Tsar. That word Tsar is what you call the Russian emperor. And Oliver Wendell Holmes was saying that that emperor came in when we needed him the most. And he stopped the Ashkenazis with Europe, Great Britain, and France from intervening in our civil war. And now we're free. Now we've been emancipated. And the Ashkenazis didn't want that. Back to World War I. That's why they hated the Russians. And when the two sides were at battle in World War I, the Ashkenazis said, we're going to give them both money, yeah. But we really hate Russia, and we made a promise to Russia that we was going to get them back. And so we're going to support Germany. Let's go back to the little circles. We're going to support Germany, and we're not going to support Russia. All right? Saints of God, Germany was winning the war. A lot of people don't know this, but Germany had all the other nations beat in World War I. Had them all beat. They had a technology that no other nation had. All the other nations was fighting in ships, hallelujah, running up to each other and blowing these cannons. The Germans invented a ship that could not float just on top of water, but that can go underwater. And while they was all looking for the Germans, because they didn't have no radar at the time, they all looking for the German ships, the Germans underneath them shooting torpedoes, and they were destroying and annihilating, amen, the other side, the Great Britain's Royal Navy, France, amen, they was whipping them to shame. The Germans used to call their boats not submarines, but they called them U-boats, undersea boats, that's what they called them. All right, y'all all right, y'all still up? All right. All right, I love it, class. All right. Look what the Germans do. Now, they'll never teach you this in school. The Germans got a whip. Great Britain running out of food. They got about a week's supply of food left. France, they always running when it get too tough. Russia just about whipped. You know what I'm saying? They defecting from their army. Germany issues out a peace treaty and say, listen, we want to make a treaty with you, Great Britain. We whipping you. You're on the ground. You bleeding. But we're going to give you a break, all right? Never really hit the newspapers too much. Never really reported on American news too much. German tries to treat with the powers, amen, first. And look what Germany said. Have peace with us, and we're going to let everything go back the way it was. It was a deal of a lifetime. That's like a brother beating you up in the streets, amen. And after he gets you down, he get up and he say, look, I ain't going to stomp you, man. Get up, man. Go home. And I ain't going to tell nobody that I put a whipping on you. You understand what I'm saying? Now, Great Britain said, we're going to consider this. All right? Now, remember who the Ashkenazis want to win. They don't want, hallelujah, they don't want Russia them to win. They want Germany to win, so it's right going the way they want it. Now, listen to me good. The Ashkenazis, I believe, go to Germany, Miss Michelle. And they tell Germany, listen, y'all about to win the world war. We want something from y'all. We done lent y'all some money. We got y'all in a position. We want something from y'all. All right? We want a particular land from y'all. You done won the world war. Give us this land. You got to understand, the Germans, they're not going to be playing that. They can't give away something that's not theirs. I'm speculating today that the Germans most probably told the Ashkenazis, no. How are we going to give away Palestine? How in the world are we going to give away Israel? We're not going to do that. All right? Now, when you're in power and you go to one person and say, listen, would you give me this? And they tell you no, what you going to do? You're going to go to the other side. The Ashkenazis went to the Germans. The Germans said, we ain't getting you nothing. The Ashkenazis cross on over to Great Britain and say, listen, we want Israel. I know you're losing right now, but if you give us Israel, we're going to make sure you win. How can you make sure we win? We got a country across the pond over there with millions of people in it who have not entered the wall. But they have a whole bunch of people over there. And if you make this agreement with us, we will get that country. We have a president over there. We got him. We got him in office. We got the Federal Reserve in 1913. We run America. If you will shake hands with us on Palestine, on Israel, we will get America in the war. and you will win the war, but you better give us Israel. That really happened. The Bible says in Numbers that your sin will certainly find you out. Bible says in Luke, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Bible tells us whatsoever is done in the dark shall be brought to the light. They was doing this behind closed doors, Jay, but information get out. We have on file the paperwork of the agreement. Let me show it to you. It's called the Balfour Agreement, where the Ashkenazis go to Great Britain and ask Great Britain, give us Israel. Now, they had never been to Israel a day in their life. They're from Europe. They're from Europe, but they enter in a deal. Now, when you read, can y'all see a little bit of that? Can you see it a little bit, babe? All right. The letter starts off like this. Now, who is the leaders of the Ashkenazis? Huh? The Rothschilds. Now, if I'm making a deal with the Ashkenazis, who am I going to write the letter to? The Balfour Agreement starts off, Dear Lord Rothschild. Man, y'all awake up in here? Are y'all awake up in here? Do y'all hear what I'm talking about? Listen, it is from Arthur James Balfour, the Secretary of Foreign Affairs of Great Britain. Amen. He wrote it November 2nd, 1917, and that's the letter with his signature addressed to Lord Rothschild. And this is what he says. I have much pleasure in conveying. The word conveying means a transfer of property. When you go downtown to the clerk of court in Lafayette, you look up what we call the conveyance record. So convey means to transfer property. I have the pleasure in conveying to you on behalf of His Majesty's government the following declaration of sympathy to the Jewish Zionist aspirations which have been submitted to and approved by the cabinet. His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people. Great Britain says, we will use our best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object. This is what happened. They went to Germany. Germany said no. They went to Great Britain. Great Britain said, yeah. They say, write it down for us. We're going to give you the wall, but write down that you're promising us the land of the Hebrews. They get the letter. They leave. Now, here it is. It get deeper. How you get America into the war? That's a big task. For us historians, we know things. Number one, we know that when President Woodrow Wilson was elected in 1916, he ran on the promise, I'm going to keep America out of the Great World War. America was in a time of American neutrality. Manifest destiny as though it was. We was worried about our business and our business alone. That's what Wilson ran on. Let me show it to you. I got proof. Exhibit A. All right? Let me show you Wilson Penn from 1916. Hallelujah. That's him. He ran on a piece. Come on, flip it again. Look at this. This is one of his buttons that from 1916. Preparedness, peace, prosperity. His campaign slogan was, he kept us out the war. All right? But let me give you some scripture here. Wilson didn't want to get in the war, but the Bible says in Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Who was lending America money? The Ashkenazis, the Rothschilds, the Federal Reserve. They going to do what the lenders say. If you don't go to war, you're going to be broke. You won't have no money. So Woodrow Wilson, who was like, we're not going to war, I promise y'all, just elect me. They elect him. Hallelujah. And look, I got a little clip. Look, they elect him. Amen. They elect him. The Ashkenazis come. Flip it, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. The Ashkenazis come. Hallelujah. And 1 month after he's elected, on a campaign promise that he would keep us out of war, 1 month after that, America enters World War I. Then people say, we could get America into war. Now, wait up. It keep going. So, okay, you got a president, all right? Because y'all lending money, And you got some dirt on him about him running around with some wild women. So you got him now. He going to do what you say. How you get the people to want to go to war? But most people don't know, before World War I, America was pro-German. America was doing business with Germany. America didn't really have too many problems with Germany. In fact, amen, hallelujah, the emperor and the king, the president, the Kaiser, as they call him in World War I, he would send his son to America. We never had no problem with America. You got the president to want to go to war. How do you transform a nation who relatively like Germany to want to go to war and hate Germany? The answer is something that we call in political science propaganda. You put it on TV, you put it in magazines, you put it on this. Now, who owned the TV and the magazine and everything? The Ashkenazis. They say, don't worry about the people. The people know what we tell them, and the people do what we tell them to do. When we tell the people obey their thirst, they go buy Sprite. When we tell the people you want to be like Mike, they go buy Jordan, stand in line all day at the mall. Hallelujah. For something they can get, for a shoe that they could get that's made out of the same thing as the one at Payless. They only do what we tell them to do. Don't worry about the people of America. So listen, right after they say we could get them in the war, right after Woodrow Wilson said, okay, we're going to get them in the war, they began a propaganda campaign to convince Americans that Germany was the worst people on the planet. They began to call them Huns, barbarians. And I got some clips for you, amen, coming out of the war propaganda. This is how they painted the Germans. Now you know Germans not black like that. They're making people think that Germans black people or something like that. That's not how Germans look, but listen, this is how they animalize people. They did the same thing with you with Muammar Gaddafi. They did the same thing with Saddam Hussein. And you tripping with them people, and you don't even know them people. You never met them people, and you think them people are the devil. Hallelujah, when who the real devil is, I wish would stand up. Anybody hear me up in here? Listen now. All right? Propaganda. You don't really know what you know, no. You only know what they told you. Look at it. Look what they do. Flip it again. Let's show you. Come on. Look, look. Oh, this going to happen to you. Germany had no thoughts of coming to America. World War I had no thoughts. Why would they issue out a peace treaty, amen, when they was beating them if they wanted to come to America? They had no desire to come to America. Let me show you another one. Let me show you another. Look at this one. Look, look. The Germans, they eat babies. And look at the bottom of the propaganda. That's a fact. The devil is a liar. They do the same thing to us today. They do the same thing to us today. They doing the same thing in Syria with Bashar Assad. Oh, he killing his people. He doesn't have, you don't even know Assad. You ain't never met that dude. You don't even know that dude. You only know what they told you. You ain't never been to Syria. And now you all up and on want to send your children to go fight, and you don't even know what it's really for. Propaganda. They turn our nation 180, y'all. They turn it. They told you what to believe. Look at another one. Yeah. Listen, our beautiful children, don't let them be wearing Nazi stickers. Come on. Go and flip this one. That's from World War II. But I just want to show you. They involve superheroes and television stars. This is from World War II, but this is what they do. And so our children, yes, we're going to go fight the Nazis. Did you know that Hitler never called himself a Nazi? Let me show you how brilliant them people are. Their real name are Ashka. They put a name on Hitler that Hitler never called himself. He never called himself Nazi. But we're going to talk about that when we talk about World War II. Let's just continue to look. Flip again. Look, Captain America was invented in that time. Captain America, we're going to go fight the Huns. If you're a kid and you're looking at that, what that's going to do? Let's go fight evil. But what is evil? What is evil? What is it? You know? Well, America entered the war. some 2 million of our boys over there. You know? Black and white. Send them over there. All right? America, just by numbers, overwhelmed Germany. And we turned the tide of the war, and our side wins World War I. After the war, they meet in Versailles to discuss the peace treaty. They actually got Germany beaten up. And they give harsh terms to Germany. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh answer stirs up strife. Meaning that how you treat people after you got them down is going to determine if the fight really over or if it's not. They took everything from Germany. Made them pay all kind of reparations. They put military bases in there. I mean, they just decimated the Germans, amen, who, let me not get into it, but they did that. At the Treaty of Versailles, Benjamin Friedman was there. This is why I'm talking about him. He was there in Versailles. He names all the people that was there. He said that there was 100-something Ashkenazis there, and they had no business being there, but they was there. And after they read the harsh treatment, amen, of the people of Germany, amen, the Ashkenazis walk up to the British, and they say, listen, we gave you America. You won the war. Give us Palestine. And guess who watching while they're shaking on the agreement? The Germans. The Germans say, man, God, they don't. We took y'all in our country. There was more millionaire Jews in Germany than almost any other place. Y'all ran our media. Y'all ran, amen, all of our publications, amen. Listen, we gave y'all a place when the Russians kicked y'all out. We opened our borders to y'all, amen. Y'all was on our side the whole duration of the war. We told y'all no because y'all couldn't have a land that y'all know wasn't y'all's. And y'all went to our enemy, shook hands with our enemy, stabbed us in the back. And now we're going to lose the war because of y'all? How would you feel when your friend that broke bread with you, ate out the same bowl with you, backdoor you, Judas you, and stab you in the back? If you was Germany, how would you feel about the Ashkenazis then? How would you feel? And then they got the documents to prove it? How would you feel? So look, the Germans say, all right, we're going to abide by y'all terms, but Ashkenazis, we're not doing business with y'all in Germany. We're not going to do business with y'all. We're going to tell our people that y'all some backstabbers and we're not doing business with y'all. Now, nothing was violent, Kev. Nobody was hurting nobody. No broken windows, no nothing. They shunned the Ashkenazis, and rightfully so, you see, for what they did in deceiving for a land that was not theirs. The Ashkenazis say, oh, no, y'all can't treat us like that. We the financiers of the world. We the international bankers. Guess what they do to Germany? They declare war on Germany. Oh, yeah. Your history books say Germany was the aggressor. Your history books say Germany started it all. Started what? What did Germany start? Started the pain with a knife in their back? They declare war on Germany. This is from the International World Congress of Zionists, the Ashkenazis' big meeting. You see? What they do at that conference? They say, we're going to boycott Germany. Come on, flip it again for me. They say, all around the world, every country we have a bank in, every country we run in, we're going to boycott Germany. Good. So Germany can't have a military. They have all kind of reparations that they have to pay. And when they go to sell something, the Ashkenazis say to other countries, you better not buy it. Germany's starving. Ain't got nothing. The Ashkenazi Samuel Untermenyor says this about his Ashkenazi. He says this, we will starve the Germans. No food. They're going to die until they capitulate to our demands. You see? So Germany is economically depressed. Everything is broken. Everything is messed up in it. They had a people that they thought that was their friend that stabbed them in the back. Amen. They have nothing. They have nothing. And a leader arises. A leader arises. And we say his name with a negative connotation only because of what the propaganda has told us about him. You don't know him. You never met him before. that man come in on the scene, and that man began to tell the truth about what the Ashkenazis did. And he wrote a book called The Struggle Is Real. That's how we say it. We say the struggle is real. But what he called it was Mein Kampf, the struggle. How our people ain't got nothing in Germany. How they did us wrong. How they're using our women, and depravity is running around our country. Harlotry, prostitution, alcoholism, no jobs, kind of sound like the hood. And he wrote a book about who was really behind it. Remember them people on the publications, they outlawed his book. His book really just getting back into circulation right now. But if you try to buy it, you're going to pay a hefty penny for it. You will know who's in charge by when you try to talk about them. They put their hand on your neck. Boy, y'all don't want to know the truth, huh? Wait up. Don't leave me yet. Don't leave me yet. Listen. Listen. So he arrives. He arrives. He arrives. No violence to the Jews yet. In 1938, an Ashkenazi shoots a German diplomat in Paris. I got the pictures right here. This was the first bloodshed. Ashkenazi walking there, they hate the Germans. He come in there and he shoot that dude in that Paris embassy. And Hitler and the Germans say, we about done had enough. And that's when they start getting rough with the Ashkenazis. You see? You see? Let me tell you something. Far too long we've been watching their news. Far too long we've been watching their TV. The Bible say this in Matthew. It tells us, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they raven in wolves. He said, beware of them. He said, do men gather grapes among thorns? Do men gather figs among thistles? Listen to me. You will know who to listen to, and you will know who's telling you the truth by the way they're living and by their actions, by their fruit. Here's the revelation. Y'all sit there in front of that TV. We'd have adultery on it, cursing on it, fornication on it, murder on it, homosexuality on it, bestiality, lesbian, all that. This is the fruit of the enterprise of their TV. And you watch that same TV after watching all of that, that TV will tell you about somebody, that somebody evil or somebody not right. Jesus say, this is how you judge whether to believe the prophet that's before you. Judge them by their fruit.
Come on.
See the rest of the stuff they put out. And if it's junk that they put out, don't believe what they're saying. The old saying says that the victor writes history. And I'm sorry to tell you that all of our history and all of our books been written by a people who have jacked land, jacked an identity, amen, who are not the people, but are the synagogue of Satan, my friend. And I'm praying that you go and you look up Benjamin Friedman and you listen to his Willard Hotel speech, and you go up and you look up his counterpart, Shlomo Sand. Amen. And you look up Arthur Kessler, Ashkenazis that come out and going back to their people and saying, nah, it's not right. What I bring before you today is like the Bible says, every word is established by not one witness, but by two or more witnesses. And that's when you find the truth, friends. Don't be lazy. Amen. Open your mind. Knowledge is power. My people are perishing, destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, we're going to flip your world upside down. Them people are going to tell you that red is blue and blue is red. And if you think this is a big lie, that Germany was actually good guys, if you think this is a big lie, y'all not even ready for the other lies I'm about to tell y'all. Y'all not even ready for that. You're not even ready for that. Let's look at the Bible in Acts chapter 5. That boy is tearing up all our world history. Yep. Because it was written by the devil. Woo! Woo! Boy, hate Russia, Deli. Russia was the one that came to our rescue. All right, listen. Give me a few minutes and then we're going to be done with this. It won't take long. I got one point and that's it. In Acts 5, verse 17, the Bible says, "Then the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go, stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life.'" Father, the blessing to the reading, the hearing, and exposition of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Saints, we've been talking about persecution. Last time we were here, we talked about Rose Up, how they began to persecute the godly. Amen. And the Bible says all that will live godly will suffer persecution. We looked at, secondly, who persecuted? The high priest and the Sadducees. And we said that the religious will also always persecute those who have a relationship with the Lord. And the third point that we're going to get to today is indignation. And this is going to tell us why they persecute, saints. This is going to tell us why people, amen, hate Christians and hate the blessed, amen, under this point, indignation. And you'll see it in our text in Acts 5:17. It says that the high priest rose up, and with him were the Sadducees, and they were filled with that word here, indignation. Now, if you got an expensive Bible, your Bible is going to tell you what indignation means. It's going to have a little superscript on it, and it's going to point you to the margin, and it's going to say a word in the margin. Now, if you got one of them cheap Bibles, you ain't spent no money on your Bible. You got a Bible made of construction paper, but that Bible ain't going to say nothing. Amen? So you got to invest in a good Bible. Amen? That indignation with that superscript, it means jealousy. Amen? Somebody say jealousy. It means envy. Amen? And that's what it is. That's what it is. It means that they persecuted the people of God who had a relationship with the Lord because of jealousy, because of envy. Now listen to me good. I realize, amen, that I just spoke on jealousy not too many weeks ago. But you got to understand, I am the Lord's servant. I got to speak on what he tell me to speak on. And I believe that God, though I spoke on envy and jealousy a few weeks ago, I believe he want me to give you a few minutes about it one more time because we probably didn't get all the envy and jealousy out of our hearts. Anybody hear me up in here? Amen. How many people know you, sometimes you got to hear something more than once? Amen? All right? Hallelujah. Well, listen, and I believe it's rhema because like we blew the shofar, like we declared that it's Jubilee, like we declare it's a time of release, I believe that 17 is going to yield some blessings for the people of God like we've never seen before in our lifetime. And we're seeing, amen, hallelujah, some fruit of that already. People getting houses, people getting cars, people getting blessed left or right. They're getting business ideas, amen. Things are being birthed in them. They actually feel like doing something in 2017. And let me tell you where that comes from, all right? That comes from you knowing who you are in this Bible, amen. If you don't know your history and where you come from, anybody hear me up in here, you just think that you're destined to be project, amen, low-income housing, hood all your life. But when you realize that God got a plan for you, that you're the people of God, that you're the head and not the tail, amen, something begins, as we say in the Bible, something begins to shift in us, amen. There's a shifting going on in the people of God. Well, Pastor, why is teaching on envy and jealousy so important? Well, if a lot of us are going to be getting blessed, it's important that the rest of us understand how to be able to take looking at our brother and sister getting blessed and waiting on our turn. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Yeah. And envy and jealousy, it's in the church, saints. And listen, people are being blessed, and your turn is coming, especially if you with this movement of knowing who you are. Now, if you hadn't converted to knowing who we are as a people, you may stay in the same place you're in. I'm just being real with you. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. If you understand who we are, I'm telling you, you're going to walk out with a different understanding about what you can do. And the scripture's going to come alive to you. And you're going to understand what he's talking about, the who the lender and not the borrower. Anybody hear me? And it's not just for the Hebrews. This is going to apply to our Caucasian and European and Gentile counterparts as well, who are grafted into the tree of Israel. Not those that's running after the Ashkenazis, no. But those that understand who the real Israel are, they're going to be blessed too. Because God says in Genesis 12, he says, those that bless the real Israel will be blessed. Oh, you got to hear me up in here. Hey! So, Pastor, why are you talking about jealousy? Because, listen, you got to get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. You are going to be blessed, but you're going to have to get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Because people around you are going to be blessed, and you got to be able to handle when somebody else get a blessing. Oh, God, have mercy. Listen, some of y'all in here can't take it now. And the season ain't even opened up fully yet. You jealous of people already. When they walking in, you looking to kind of see what kind of bottom they have on their shoe or not, and what they have on and stuff like that. You jealous already. That's not going to work in this new season. That's not going to work. Because if you're jealous now, you might as well leave. You better leave now. Because we about to be blessed as a people. You hear me, Sergio? We about to go up as a people, all right? And we got to be able to look at one another and tell each other, I want to see you blessed. I want to give it to you. I want to bless you. I want you to get it all. All that God has for you, I want you, God, got to give that to you. And if I got to be the conduit, the vessel, the means, the vehicle, the highway through which God blesses you, then so be it. All right? That's how we got to have it. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I want to see you blessed. Now look at your other neighbor and say, I want to see you blessed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We cannot be jealous. Now, as we look at our scriptures, amen, we got to stay in context. What were the Pharisees, the Sadducees and the high priests, what were they jealous of? They were jealous of the power of God operating through the disciples. The disciples were doing extraordinary things, meaning like they were doing things that were not humanly possible. And so it will be with you. Amen. You don't come from nothing. You don't know nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You didn't pay attention in school. Amen. But you know that you're a Hebrew now. You know you're engrafted, rather, some of our Gentile counterparts, and you walking out in the blessing. Amen. And they don't know you. They just know where you come from. That project, that trailer park, hallelujah, wherever you was. And they don't see you doing nothing big. Amen. But when you come out with the power of God and the calling of God on your life, and you start buying houses, and you start building businesses, and you start doing this and doing that, and you're starting from the ground up, and they're going to look at you and they're going to say, how she do that there? They will get jealous of you when you began to do extraordinary things. That's why they was jealous of the disciples. They were not only jealous because of the extraordinary, but the Bible tells us that, amen, their popularity and their success, hallelujah, drew jealousy out of the Sadducees and Pharisees as well. Listen to me. The disciples had it going on. The church was being added to every single day. People was getting saved every single day. And it was going, it was blowing and going in the church and with the disciples. And the Sadducees in their denomination, as they was watching what the disciples was doing, it was like people coming in and worshiping, cutting up, everything was alive. And at the Sadducees, it was quiet, dead, cricket. You can hear the roaches crawling. You understand what I'm saying? Ain't had nobody in there. The roaches say, I'm going by the disciples. I'm going down the street. Y'all dead. Amen? What you saying that for, Pastor? Listen, when people look at your life and they see success for where God is about to bring you, do not be surprised when they be envious and jealous of you. Amen? When they see you walking out in the success that God is just unfolding for you, raises, promotions, bonuses, new opportunities, doors opening up for you, and they not with God, all right? So the favor is not on them, and so they look at their life and they hear crickets. They look at your life and it's blowing and going, and they get mad at you. What they need to do is not get mad. Get God. Go to God. The same God that could bless me, bless you too. He not a respecter of her. Don't get mad. Get glad. Listen to me now. All right? I know y'all know that. There you go. All right. So they was mad and jealous of the disciples for that. Now, this is important for us, y'all, in the black community. Jealousy and envy is a very, very, hallelujah, detrimental thing in our community. I've told you before that other races get along better than we get along with each other because we hate one another. And we hate one another because of some classical condition and some Willie Lynch theory, slavery mentality, amen. We hate the way we look. We hate the way our hair looks, amen. We don't like when one of us is over another one of us. There is rarely any submission with one another. Everybody walk in wanting to be the chief, wanting to be the head, amen. There is no type of humility with one another. Hallelujah. Two black men will fight with each other. But when a white man coming at a boat, going to go down and say, whatever you need. You know what I'm saying? But they will not submit to one another. And it's because of pride. It's because of jealousy. And it's because of envy. Amen. It starts off when we're real young. Amen. When somebody down the street, amen, get a pair of flip-flops that we don't have. When they got a big wheel, a green machine that we don't have. When they have a bike that we don't have. When she get a beret that we don't have, amen. We not happy for her, amen. We wishing that it was ours and we wishing that she didn't have it. And some of y'all can even go back in your life where friends have even come and stolen what you had to get what you had, hallelujah, to take it from you and give it, amen. This is a word for our parents here. If you discern jealousy in your children, amen. I'm talking to the Hebrews especially, amen. And I single out black, but it is also in the Latino community as well. If you discern jealousy, amen, in your children, amen, you got to whip that jealousy out of them. Anybody hear me up in here? Yeah, yeah. Look, did you hear what I say? Whip it out of them. You heard me? Did you hear me? Yes, put it on and whip them right here. That's what you do. Don't beat them all over the place. That's hood. You know what I'm saying? You put it there, and you put it there right. Turn your hip when you do it. And squeeze. You squeeze. Get a good one. It's like a baseball swing. That's what it, you know. You put it on. For the rod, bring it wisdom. You with me so far? And if you don't get it out of them, Jake, if you don't get it out of them, they're going to grow up jealous. And they'll be an unruly people that'll never submit under leadership. I heard a quote, amen, hallelujah, that every black leader who has come up in America has had to deal with envy and jealousy from his own people. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Meaning that we not only got to fight the outsiders that don't want us to come up, but we got to fight, as we trying to pick our people up, we got to fight our own people that's sneaking us. Own people that's talking about us. What we got on, what we wearing, what we drive. While we trying to pick our people up. You see? In fact, some of the other races, amen, that might not like blacks, they say, just leave them to themselves. They gonna implode. They will destroy themselves. Some of our black leaders, they did not have to kill our black leaders. Other black people killed our black leaders. Are y'all still up in here? And it's because of jealousy and envy. In the text before us, that's what was going on. They was jealous of him. I asked the Lord this morning, I said, Lord, what you want me to tell your people about jealousy? He was showing me that the movement of awakening our people is blowing full steam ahead. And all around the country, we're going to awaken and actually be who we're supposed to be. It's written. There's nothing we can do to stop it. The gospel would go out till the fullness of the Gentiles would come in, but the next season is the restoration of Israel. There's nothing we can do about that. It's written. The movement will happen with or without you. But he told me. He said, warn them. Warn them. He said, the traitors amongst our people will be the jealous. Those that stab in the back, they will be the jealous. Why are you telling me that, Pastor? Deal with it in your heart. Deal with it in your heart. Do you know your heart well enough to know when you're jealous? When somebody pull up in that nice ride that you wanted? When you walk in our house and she got them granite countertops? When she walk up on stage and she got them red bottoms on or whatever like that? Whatever that red, blue, I don't know what them bottoms are. But y'all know what it is. Yeah, y'all know what that is. Can you feel it in your heart? When you feel it, you got to deal with it. You got to say that's wrong. I'm happy my sister blessed. I'm happy my brother blessed. They blessed. Me, I'm going to be blessed. You got to deal with it. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The Bible tells us in James 3:14, it says, but if you have bitter envy and strife, look where it is, in your hearts, that's where it starts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Envy comes from the devil. James 3:16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That's why our people can't get off the ground. As long as we got envy and strife in them, there will be confusion in our movements, and there will be every evil work. And before it even stand up, it's going to buckle under the decay, the infestation of a termite-like envy, eating away, amen, at the studs that's going to hold the movement up. It's no way that it can happen. If we are to be anything, we got to begin to love one another again. Come on, give God some glory, amen. God began to pull out certain things in the scripture. He showed me Joseph. And the Bible says in Genesis 37:11 about Joseph, and his brethren envied him. His brethren. The people he grew up with. His own flesh and blood. The people that if anybody was supposed to be happy for him, that's who it was. Listen to me, Hebrews and Christians alike, which we are Hebrew Christians, don't be jealous of your brothers and sisters. The Bible says rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those who weep. But y'all so jealous, y'all weeping when they're rejoicing and rejoicing when they're weeping. We got to flip the script. Amen. We got to want to see each other blessed. We better, because the blessing is coming. And so you better get yourself ready. His brethren envied him. As we do a contextual study of this, Doug, minister, we can see why they envied him. And why is very pertinent to what we're discussing right here. In the text, Joseph goes to his brethren and he tell them, Tyrone, he say, I had a dream. That's what he said. And that's all he said. And he told them the dream. Nothing ever happened. Nothing came into fruition. Nothing transpired. Nothing moved and was built upon. He just told them his dream. And then the Bible says, and they envied him. What's the revelation? The revelation is that sometimes people can be so jealous, they will be jealous even of your dreams. You ain't even done nothing yet. You just wanting to go there. You just want to do something. They jealous of your unrealized potential. You tell them that you're about to apply for a job. You are about to open a business. You're about to sell cold cups. Hey, God, you want to put some weave in your head. You want to go natural. I don't care what it is. You're going to try to get this thing. And some people are so jealous, they're jealous of your dream. Of your dream. You know what I'm saying? Now, this is why they're jealous of dreams. Because they don't have one. All right? They don't have no vision of what they want to do in the future. They don't have no 5-year plan, no 10-year plan, no aspirations. And there you come, boy, you just as happy, hallelujah, as giddy as a butterfly. And God done put a dream in you. And there you go. We going to do this and we going to do that. And we going to get this house and I'm going to apply for this. And this is the car I want. And they looking at you like, hot as a 45. Why? Because they ain't got no dream. Now, the key to the story is this. Don't get mad at me and my dream. Why don't you go to the dream maker? He giving dreams and plans and visions to everybody. He said, for I know the plans I have for you, the thoughts I think towards you. For all of us, he got a plan. He got a vision. He got a dream. You only don't have a dream because you ain't went to the dream maker. You can get your dream, a vision. Don't be mad at somebody because they have one. All right? All right, that's Joseph. And the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that just because his dream, they took him, amen, and they threw him in a pit. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Listen, this teaches us something, all right? Don't tell everybody your dream. As God began to birth some things in you and show you what he wants you to do, amen, me and my little wife learned this early. Amen. Loose lips sink ships sometimes. Amen. There you go. He done gave you the Colonel's secret recipe. You got the secret Big Mac sauce. But there you go on Simcoe blabbing your mouth about the secrets and everything and all this other stuff. Hallelujah. No. That's what's wrong with our people. We talk more about what we're going to do than what we actually do. Oh, come on, somebody. Hey! Now, I'm not saying you can't talk at all because of the multitude of counsel that's safety, but you're going to know who you can talk to and who you can't. Them people can't even take the way you dress now. And here you're going to go and reveal to them a plan by which God's going to make you a millionaire or make you six figures, amen? They can't take you what kind of shoes you wear now. They're jealous of where you live right now. And you're going to go to them people and tell them people about the dream that God's going to do to put your second in command over Egypt. You shouldn't have said nothing. You shouldn't have said, don't tell them nothing. Nothing. Don't tell them nothing. Say that with me. Don't tell them nothing. That's right. That's right. Nothing. You and it could be your sisters and your brothers. Don't tell them nothing. If you need some counsel, come talk to the leaders in church. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, that's Joseph. That's Joseph. Look at Daniel. Anybody read the book of Daniel? What a man at? What a man reading the book of Daniel at? Come on now. We reading it together as a group, the men. Y'all, Revelation's been awesome. I've been reading them. It's awesome. But in Daniel chapter 6, amen, in verse 3, the Bible tells us, amen, then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. He had favor. Somebody say favor. Yeah, they say favor ain't fair, but it's fabulous. You see what I'm saying? And the Bible said, because he had an excellent spirit was in him, the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Let me tell you about Daniel. Daniel had favor, all right? And he was excellent, all right? When you excellent and you got favor, people are going to hate you. They're going to be jealous of you. Now listen to me good. Some of y'all got the favor. You the people. You love the Lord, everything. The favor is on you. You could walk in a place and people are going to love you. The favor is on you, all right? But where my people fall short at is the next attribute of Daniel, his excellence. Do you know what excellence is? Do you know what excellence is? My prayer this morning is that God's people would get back to excellence. Hey, Pastor, what's excellence? Excellence is when you don't settle for less. Excellence is when you want something that you produce, that you do, to be the best that it can be. In school, excellent looked like all A's and no B's. That's what excellent looked like. All right? Now, if you try hard and you got all A's and a B, if you try hard and that's all you could do. All right, that's good. But some of y'all ain't trying at all. Well, you're going to try in my house. All right? We want excellence. At work, what excellence look like? You go to work and you do it right. Come on. You don't just do something that's going to get by. You do it right. You see, the key to Daniel's ascension, promotion, was that he had favor and excellence. Some of y'all have the favor, but you're not operating in the excellence. Do the job and do the job better than everybody else. You be excellent. Don't be slacking. Don't come in late. Don't come in just, you know what I'm saying? That's not excellent, coming in at 9:05, 9:10. That's not excellent, baby. You got the favor. They want to promote you, but they're not going to because you're not excellent. When you do the report, when you put the cheese on the burger, whatever you do, excellent. If you be excellent, there will be no stop to your promotion until you reach the top. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Listen to me. Listen to me. And look, I want you to be excellent in everything. All right? When you leave the house to come to church, you be excellent. When you leave the house to go to work, you be excellent. I know how we used to do it. It's the McDonald's uniform. So what if they got mayonnaise from last week on there? That don't look like promotion. Wash your uniform. Iron your uniform. Listen, listen. Before you get to be something, you got to look like it already. The people that... When the people walk in and you know you're, I mean, you got a crease in the McPants, what they call McPants. You got a crease in the McPants. The people go look, they say, she looked like a manager. That's what Daniel was. Favor and excellent. Young man, I see the way you're locked in. You listen to me on this, I'm telling you, you're going straight to the top. You're going straight to the top. You got favor, young man. You're going straight to the top. I'm telling you here. Now, when you get to the top, the haters not going to like that, all right? But let them hate. What they did to Daniel because of his favor and his excellence, they threw Daniel in the lion's den. But the Lord was with Daniel. Hey! And we're going to talk about that next Sunday because, listen, even after they hate you and they persecute you, God going to lift you up to a higher place after they hate you and persecute you. Come on. All right. So Joseph, Daniel. Hallelujah. Let me tell you another reason they're going to hate you. They're going to hate you because of your righteousness. Cain and Abel, 1 John 3:12, it says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Listen to me good. When you're trying to live for God, and you're trying to be right, they're going to hate you. All right? Obedience brings blessing. I'm going to use something for example. Just something right quick. The tithe. All right. God tell me to tithe and I'm going to tithe. All right. Now, I got, you know what I'm saying, Mr. Smith over here. His name is Smitty. I don't know. Let's just call him Smitty. Smitty, hallelujah, watching me and how I live. All right. Now, I tithe and I offer. Smitty don't tithe. He give the Lord a little change. Amen. He give quarters in the thing. All right. It's like Cain and Abel. Abel offered a worthy sacrifice. And Cain gave God the leftovers. Now, who got blessed? Well, of course, the one who gave the worthy sacrifice is going to be blessed. And God had respect unto Abel's offering. Cain saw that and got jealous. Let's bring it back to our example. I'm tithing, giving offering on top of that. This one ain't doing nothing. But he's looking at my life. What I'm driving, where I'm living, and what I'm doing. All right? You know what I'm saying? All God requires of me is to give my 10%, give my offering. And after that, I could do what I want with what's mine. He over here looking at me and mine and what I do with mine. That's my check. I do what I want with my check. I work. I get paid. I do what I want. I'm tithing. Hallelujah. And you see the blessings just exploding. Why I can't have a car like that? Why I can't live like that? Why I can't do that? The answer is not hating the person that's doing right. The answer is to do right. Yourself. You with me so far? Anybody hear me up in here? All right? All right, because that's what a lot of people do that's not doing right. They look at the people that's doing right and getting mad at them. How could they have all that? How could they do that? It's the blessing of the Lord. It make it rich. It added no sorrow. Don't be like Cain, who saw Abel being respected and blessed by God and kill his brother Abel. Because his own works were evil. Come on, give God some glory for that. Amen. Here's the last one. Here's the last one. We got to go. Man, we got to get out of here, saints. Y'all keeping me long today. I tell y'all what. The last one is Jesus. They hated our Lord. They hated him. They was jealous of him. In Matthew 17, 18, for he knew that of envy they had delivered him. And that's Pontius Pilate knew that they delivered Jesus strictly for jealousy and envy. Jesus told me, he said, they hated me without a cause. You know? And Jesus is the full package. He has the power, the extraordinary ability, the favor, the success, the popularity. He has it all, y'all. And they hated him. Here's the message for you today. The message is this. Be careful. Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous, Philadelphia. Don't be jealous. I'm warning you because some people are about to bust forth in here with blessings, amen, that though they told you, you would never believe them. Even if you're not getting yours, you better wait your turn and shut your mouth. You understand what I'm saying? Shut your mouth. And if you see them dancing up here, come dance on the side of them, amen, because it means that God passing some blessings out. Don't you dare murmur and complain and talk about them, amen, because you're going to stop up your blessing. Do not be jealous. Secondarily, amen, get your own. Get your own. The Bible says you have not because you get your own. Stop looking at other people's life and get your own. Go to God yourself. Ask for a dream or vision yourself. Ask for a plan for yourself. Ask for blessings for yourself. Get in a relationship with him for yourself. Get saved for yourself. Until you do all those things for yourself, you're going to be looking at other people moving on up like the Jeffersons while you're going down. Like the Bundys on Married with Children. I don't know. I'm making up stuff. But it ain't working out for you until you get your own. All right? And getting your own starts off with a relationship with Jesus Christ. You might be here, amen, today, and you're not saved. And you're hearing all this talk about blessing and the season and all of that. Listen to me. Don't get the cart before the horse. You ain't going to get blessed and get all the benefits of being one of his children if you're not one of his children yet. You got to come to him. You got to come admitting you're a sinner. You got to come believing that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died for your sins. You got to open your mouth and confess him. Listen, I don't know who I'm talking to in here, but this message spoke to somebody. And you're ready for a new season in your life. It starts off with you getting saved. If you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor, I'm not saved, but I want to be. I want to be. Or, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved and forgiven, but I want to be. I'm going to call you up and you're going to pray with me, and then we're going to get out of here. If you're here and you're a Christian, and you feel yourself struggling with those remnants of the old man, that jealousy just boiling up, you can come to the altar too. If you're here and you're a Christian, and you want God to make you ready for your new season that's coming, so you won't waste it, so you won't, amen, miss it, amen, and you just need prayer, you can come and do that too. Saints of God, listen, when you hear the music, hallelujah, you can come to the altar. We're not going to do it long. I done kept you long enough. The altar is open, saints. Come on. Come on. Come on. It's a new season. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's a new season. It's a new season. Put last year behind you. Put it behind you now. It's a new season. It's a new season. We're going to pray and we're going to get out of here. You know what I'm saying? It's a new season. It's a new season. It's a new season. Here we go. Here we go. We got some people behind y'all. Please come closer to me. I'm not going to bite y'all. I may spit, but I don't bite. Man, I love y'all, man. Y'all are beautiful people of God. You know, in heaven, that's how it's going to be. The people of God. And it's going to be the people of God of every race, every creed, a wonderful people, a beautiful people. And the Hebrew is going to be that too. Pray with me. Say, God, thank you for loving me in spite of me. I admit I've sinned against you. And I'm sorry. But I believe that you still love me. You love me so much. You died on the cross for all my sins. Now, Lord, I believe with all my heart that you did die on the cross. And you were buried in the grave. And on the third day, you did rise. And I believe it with all my heart. You promised me if I believed you that you would save me and forgive me of all my sins. Well, Lord, I believe. Please save and forgive me. Cleanse my heart and give me a new start. Fill me with your spirit and use me for your glory. Give me a plan, a vision, a dream for my life. I want to be the head and not the tail. I want to be above and not beneath. I want to be the lender and not the borrower. Put an excellent spirit within me. Make me a Daniel on the job. Make me a Joseph in my community. Use me, Lord. And when you're done, I will give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. 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 Great things. Great things coming out of you. Great things coming out of you. You're a great people. And you're going to raise up great people. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And may he bless you with peace, shalom, prosperity, favor upon you, promotions, business endeavors, awesome opportunities. They will not be able to keep you down. In the mighty name of Jesus, you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. I pray these blessings upon you right now. These blessings upon you. These blessings upon you. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Come on, give God some glory. Come on. Love y'all, saints. Love y'all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Hallelujah. Hey. Bless. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. In the name of Jesus, you're blessed. You're blessed. Oh, I'm sorry, sister. I'm sorry. You're blessed.
You're a simple song. You deserve it. You
on, y'all got it. Come on, say, my hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice.